Lisa Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. October is National Sensory Awareness Month, and I have once again joined forces with the fantastic Marla Rothfish, who works with Future Horizons, the world leader in books, DVDs, and conferences on autism and Asperger's syndrome, to bring you some very special guests. And joining us now is Carol Kranowitz. And Carol is an amazing woman who has written so many books on sensory processing disorder. Whenever I hear the name Carol Kranowitz, that's what I think of. And she has a new book, Growing an Instinct Child, and it provides parents, teachers, and other professionals with the tools to give every child a head start and a leg up. It's a fresh and timely approach to understanding the profound impact of motor development on children of all ages and stages. Carol, I want to welcome you to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud. How are you today?
I am so well, Lisa. Thank you so much.
Now, I would have read your bio, but it would have taken up the whole interview. Again, you are synonymous with SPD. And for people who aren't familiar, what is sensory processing disorder?
Sensory processing disorder, which is the topic of most of my books, but not so much this new one. But SPD is a problem that happens when a person takes in sensations from the environment around him or from his own body, and these sensations come into receptors in the body and go to the central nervous system, which processes them, but in a not so efficient way. So the result is that the person's behavior might be unusual or atypical. An example would be if the child is on the playground and another kid is running toward him, most kids would see that child coming closer and would hear the child and would perhaps get out of the way so he's not run down. But a child with sensory processing disorder might not process all that information quickly enough to do the right thing to defend himself or to respond in an appropriate way. So there's nothing sick about or diseased about with the receptors in a person. The sensory receptors are fine. Something is happening in the central nervous system that's preventing the person from functioning smoothly. And so this can be problems with how the child or the adult responds to touch sensations. Being touched or touching objects might make the person uncomfortable. Moving, like getting on the playground equipment, or being moved, such as being in the back seat of a car that's going over a speed bump, or being pushed in a stroller, that might make the person very uncomfortable because he can't process those sensations of moving through space. And there are other examples, too. So some people with sensory processing disorder are over-responsive and will avoid sensations that make them uncomfortable, whether it's a touch or movement or chunks in the peanut butter or Christmas carols at the mall. Life can be overwhelming for some people. And then there are others with sensory processing disorder who seek sensation. They want more all the time. Their central nervous system say, I'm hungry, give me more noise. And if I can't turn the radio up enough, I'll make my own noise. And I want to jump all the time and move all the time and wriggle and squiggle and spin. So we see different responses that show us what's going on inside the nervous system. The books I have written, The Out of Sync Child, The Out of Sync Child Has Fun, and CDs and DVDs are about sensory processing. But a few years ago, my very dear friend Joy Newman, who is a perceptual motor therapist, and I decided that we are both OT wannabes. We think it would be great to be occupational therapists working with kids, but we're trained in other ways. I was trained as a preschool teacher, and she is a perceptual motor therapist. And what we feel is that our modern American kids are stuck in their chairs or sitting on the couch, and they're not using their bodies enough, and this is a national crisis. So we wrote a book called Growing an InSync Child. And Lisa, this book, which came out in May and is published by Perigee, is really for parents of all kids. It's not especially directed to children with sensory processing issues or other developmental delays. And what we want to do is get the attention of every caring parent and teacher in this country who needs to understand that when they let their kids come home from school and run around in the backyard for half an hour or rake leaves or knead bread dough or brush the dog or wash the car or jump on the trampoline, when kids are given opportunities to move, they are encouraging their children to learn because the body moves 10 times faster than the brain does. And they're also getting their kids organized so that they can pay attention to the things that need to be done, like doing homework.
Oh, that's good. Talk a little bit more about that, about the getting organized. That's really interesting.
Yeah. We are, as human beings, we are born to move. When you think about nature's way, what we're supposed to do as we mature from infants to young children and upward, first thing we need to do is survive. And we survive best when we're moving around and looking, using our eyes, using our ears, using our hands, developing bilateral coordination so we can catch something that's thrown at us or somebody coming over the horizon toward us or turn and run if we have to. As we're maturing, we're and having many, many sensory and perceptual motor experiences, we're developing the skills to defend ourselves and to master the environment. We are born to be agent or doers or actors. The more we do, the more we can do, and the better we are at it. And what Joy Newman and I are so concerned about is that kids are being stuck in chairs or stuck in front of computers and video games and televisions, and they are simply not using their bodies. And you can't learn about the world in a two-dimensional way, which is the problem with what we see through a screen. So we wrote this book with the intent of saying to parents, hey, you are just fabulous when you let your child get into his car seat all by himself, or when you give the child the job of pushing the stroller himself or the grocery cart or bringing the groceries in or counting the steps from the car to the house. Or we have 60 activities.
I was going to say, you got a lot of great activities.
Yeah, we do. We do. What we're concerned about is helping parents see that very simple and enjoyable activities that you can do anywhere and anytime without expensive equipment will help the child focus on tasks that are basic, but we, Joy and I think, we're not doing it. One example is a lot of children are not, these days, are not developing good upper body strength. They are sitting a lot. They're not even encouraged to crawl. We were kind of horrified when we learned recently that the AMA has said that crawling is not a milestone.
Really? That's shocking.
It is shocking. We were so surprised. But if you Google it, if you look up AMA crawling, you'll see it's not that important. Well, we think it is.
Yes.
We think you got to get over leaning forward, putting your weight on your arm. When you think about crawling, you're getting tactile information through your sense of touch your tactile system. You're getting proprioception, which is the sense of information we get through our muscles and joint and tells us about our body parts, what they're doing, and how they work together. You're getting vestibular information. The vestibular sense tells us where our head is in relation to the surface of the earth, and every time we move our head, we're getting important vestibular input. Sitting in a chair or sitting in a car seat, you're not moving your head very much. But when you're crawling, you are. So we have some activities that get kids down on their hands and knees. We get kids rolling through some of our activities because rolling is great for children who have an uncertain sensory system that where maybe their tactile sense is not well developed, or their proprioception or their vestibular sense. Rolling, Joy says, is the best thing you can do because you get on the floor and you can't fall. So children who are a little afraid of movement because it's so uncomfortable, they're not going to fall anywhere. They can't. They're there already. And rolling is great for proprioception. You're getting deep pressure into your body as you roll. And you're getting touch sensations through your body also. One of our activities is called log roll, and you have the child toss a beanbag out on the floor and then have him lie down on the floor and roll toward the beanbag until his cheek rests on the beanbag. Pretty simple, but it teaches things like directionality, like where is the child heading? How far does he have to go to get to a destination? It gives him vestibular input and tactile and proprioceptive, as I said. It gives him exercise in developing visual skills. Another activity that we love is called the ball bounce. And this is where the adult lays out a road of a straight or perhaps a slightly curved road with masking tape. And the child walks on the masking tape and he bounces the ball on the right and then with both hands bounces the ball on the left. And so he's walking forward and making the ball go on either side. Simple, yeah, but it's teaching things like balance, like eye, hand, and eye-foot coordination, directionality, which is going from one place to another, motor planning, which is going through a complex motor task, midline crossing, which is using the eye, hand, and foot on one side of the body in the space of the eye, hand, and foot on the other side of the body. Such a simple activity and so useful. So I think if people are interested in helping their kids with balance and coordination and midline crossing, which is what we need to do to read and to hit a baseball with a bat and scratch your elbow. We need to be able to cross that midline, that imaginary midline between our right and left side.
You know, I wish my parents had had this book because I struggled with a lot of these things. I was always afraid of falling. That rolling activity would have been great. I didn't like to ride my bike down any hills, even the slightest little incline. I loved roller skating, but I was always afraid to fall. I just had a lot of trouble, and my daughter has a lot of trouble as well, so I'm really looking forward to trying out some of these. And we spoke recently, and you mentioned if a child has trouble skipping, that they can hop on each foot. And I tried that last night, and I said, wow, I never thought of that before. That kind of turns into skipping if you move that forward.
Yeah, good. Yeah. That's good. I'm glad we chatted about that. Yeah. Yes, skipping is a complex activity. It requires good balance. It requires laterality, which is using your right side and your left side. It involves bilateral coordination, proprioception, which is using body parts separately and together. Vision is involved in it. It's hard to skip if your eyes are closed. So,
yes.
You know, a lot goes into it. And all of these sensory and perceptual skills that we expect children to have by the time they're in school don't just happen. You've got to nourish the child with experiences so that these skills will develop. And when you think about our childhoods or our parents' childhoods, there was a lot more outdoor play.
Oh, there sure was.
And we were expected to go to the playground, and we were expected to be able to play dodgeball, which I guess is illegal these days because, heaven forbid, somebody gets tapped on the back with a ball. A lot of these kids that have sensory issues and other developmental problems can do the activities, but they take a little longer.
Okay.
And what we tend to do is we say, oh, you're having trouble with it. Well, darling, I won't make you go through this torture. Here, sit down, have a lollipop, and read a book. And you know, we try to make our life easy and comfortable for our kids, but the fact is we have to make it a little uncomfortable for them so they'll learn these skills that let them be sufficient, efficient adults.
Yeah, that's true. No, that's a really good point. I think it's funny with my husband and I tend to be more like, well, you know, she's not that good at it, but so what? She's good at it, you know, where he's like, no, she needs to learn these things, and we can't always be holding her hand. And, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But and so the answer is in between. You want to,
yeah.
Of course you want to understand your little one who's a little tentative or fearful perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to just take the child and throw her into the swimming pool and say, swim. But anyway, if you can take the time to Well, say a child has difficulty getting dressed. We're busy, we parents. We need to get out the door. So we tend to shove the kid's limbs into the jacket and pull on the boots and, and lift the child into the car seat and do all of that for the child. No, let's not. Let's get up 10 minutes earlier and let's say, you need to put your boots on yourself. One of our activities for a little kid is called, we call it car seat scramble. It's where you take the car seat out of the car, you put it on the living room floor, and you say, okay, darling, get into the car seat. And the child crawls in and out and in.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah, so simple.
I know.
Or put the car seat in the car in different places. Put it on the left side, put it on the right side, and have the child get to it by crawling over the front seat, or keep making changes, or move the furniture in the bedroom, put the bed against a different wall, and the child has to get in on a different side. Some of these simple changes will enhance skills that we're not always focused on how important they are. One thing that I love about this book, I'm really proud of it, Growing an Instinct Child. We have an early chapter called Movement Gets Us in Sync. And in this chapter, we list all of the skills that our children are expected to have, with some explanations of what these skills mean and how often kids need to know them. For instance, parents might hear people talk about bilateral coordination. Well, we have some bullets here. Bilateral coordination is for clapping. It's for eating corn on the cob. It's for swinging. And if we don't have good bilateral coordination, we're not going to do those things so well. So I just think that we did parents a service who hear a lot of terminology and are a little fuzzy about it, and some of them are tricky to explain. What we've done in the book is we've arranged our 60 activities by skill level, which is generally beginner, intermediate, and advanced. And we didn't put ages on the activities because a 7-year-old might have the motor planning skills of a 3-year-old.
So yeah, I think that's great that you didn't put ages.
yeah. So parents looking at the book might want to start with some of the basic activities that will help develop and enhance motor planning in their kids.
Now, do you have activities for fine motor skills? Because I know a lot of kids tend to have problems sometimes with holding the pen, and they have handwriting issues.
They sure do. And actually, we don't have a lot about that because we're more into the gross motor.
Okay.
And this is the forgotten area. This is America's problem right now. That I go visit schools, Lisa, and I look out on the playground, and some schools don't have any equipment. The only indication of what to do out there is painted lines on the asphalt. What kind of playground is that? We need to return the equipment to the playgrounds where kids can move, and that means tire swings, merry-go-rounds, slides. There's all this stuff is where the child has to move his body. There is a risk. Of course, there's a risk in getting out of bed in the morning. But what we're doing by taking away risks, heaven forbid a child falls off a swing, for instance, so take the swings away. Wrong. Providing opportunities for dealing with risk teaches children how to manage risk.
Yeah,
and you know, their kids have certain basic rights, and one of these rights is they need to be given opportunities to learn how to handle risk. Another right is they need to have control over something, and that should be their own bodies, because if they can't control their own bodies, they're going to try to control everything else in their environment. And another thing is the kids need is a sense of belonging. So you think about our kids, the clumsy, tentative ones, they don't have such a great sense of belonging lots of times, because they're not out there swinging and running and jumping and doing what the other guys are doing. It's through the body that we not only learn, but we also socialize.
That's true. Yeah, no, like I said, I had a hard time as a child, and your book would have helped immensely. And I was left out, and I was picked on because I was so uncoordinated and had a lot of issues in that area.
So you can really, well, that's why you sympathize with children today. That's why you're doing your wonderful work right now.
Well, yeah, I do. I see it in my daughter, and I say, oh, boy. But my husband had the same issue, so it's kind of like, okay, this is not a surprise.
Yeah. Well, the apple doesn't always fall far from the tree.
No,
you know?
It does not.
You know? I want to say a word about doing stuff oneself.
Sure.
Because so much is done for our kids. And mother came up to me, and she wanted my opinion on a video that she had bought for her child, which was going to teach her child to count. And she said, oh, it's really simple. My child doesn't have to do anything. All she does is sit there, and the orange jumps into a bucket, and the voice says one. And then she jumps into another orange jumps into a bucket, two. And isn't that a great way to learn to count? And I said to the mom, well, have you considered giving your daughter a bucket?
Several. Exactly.
And she said, this was a surprise to me. This mom, this earnest mom who really cared, said, oh, but that's so old-fashioned.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So
that's a great activity.
It is a great activity. You're touching the oranges. You're moving them yourself. You are the agent. You are the doer. And I'm afraid our kids who are watching so much TV or playing so many video games, what are they getting out of that? I know there's research that says, oh, they have better, quicker responses, but they're not interacting with other people. They're not using their eyes to look at the horizon and see what's coming at them. They're actually developing rather poor vision. There are eye doctors, optometrists especially, who are seeing young children with myopia, which is a problem of nearsightedness, because kids are looking at everything 2 feet away from them instead of out there in the world around them. We're seeing kids who have this weak upper body structure and poor posture, and we see kids who don't want their feet to leave the ground.
I had that.
Yeah.
My daughter did. She did some OT, and that did help with that, which was nice.
Oh, well, good.
Yes.
Well,
now she is. You should see her in a playground. She's climbing over everything,
yay,
swinging and sliding. Oh, yeah.
Yay. Yes. So occupational therapy gives the child the tools to make those movements. And in another conversation you and I had, Lisa, we were talking about what an OT for a child who has difficulty skipping. The OT would not say, okay, we're going to have skipping lessons today, but what the therapist would want to do is go back into the child's development and find out what that child is good at that leads to skipping. So it might be that child needs a little help with balance, because you have to balance on one foot and then the other foot when you're skipping. And maybe the child likes both feet planted. So one thing the OT might do is have the child stand on one foot for 3 seconds and then the other foot, and maybe extend that, or maybe have the child walk on that magic piece of therapy, I call it therapy tape, which is silly, I mean masking tape. Just walk on a line of masking tape that requires balance to put one foot right in front of the other. Or maybe get on a teeter-totter which is a really basic piece of equipment. It's a block of wood, like a unit block from the block collection in the school corner, and a board that is 2 or 3 feet long and maybe a foot wide. So the child's feet are secure on the board, and you put the board over the block, and you have the child tilt to the right and center and tilt to the left and to the right and to the left. And that can be kind of a low-key activity, but it helps with the child changing balance. It gets the right and left hemispheres of the brain talking to each other. It's very calming. It's very organizing. That actually helps a kid develop skills that lead to hopping.
Oh, that's great. No, I'm wondering, when do you think it's important for a child to do this with an OT versus to get your book, Growing an Instinct Child? Do you think it depends on, obviously, the severity of the problems they're having with their motor development or motor skills?
Well, I think any parent would do well to get my book. Of course, I'm supposed to be more modest, and I think this is for every family to have on their family bookshelf. For getting therapy, it's never too young, and therapists are working with infants now. They can tell some infants may be extremely uncomfortable being cuddled and held, and may not have a good latch on the breast, and a loving mom may pick them up, and the babies may arch and squirm away because they just can't stand that tactile input. Therapists can get in there right away and start working with that baby with massages and brushing the skin of the baby with special sponges that will desensitize that oversensitive little system.
That's great.
Yeah, and you know, if parents are aware of some of the characteristics of children with sensory needs, then they can pay attention to it and get some therapy soon. The sooner the better.
Okay.
To become aware, I would suggest people look at my book, The Out of Sync Child. I've got lots of characteristics listed there, and the book is available for purchase, or you can get it at the library. Unfortunately, many pediatricians are not too familiar with sensory processing problems.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
four for five. It was tough to find one that could understand. We had a myriad of different issues going, and it was pretty tough. We finally found a woman who was just out of school, so she was more open-minded. And said, I've heard, I don't know much about it, but, oh, I've heard of that. I know what you're, I understand her. You know, there wasn't like, what are you talking about? You're just, you know, she'll be fine.
Yeah, I think at medical school, issues like sensory processing are where nutrition used to be 40 years ago. I remember when my children were little, and I was saying, gee, I've been hearing that maybe sugary cereal isn't so good for my one-year-old. And I remember my doctor saying, oh, there's some research on it, but don't worry, give him what he wants to eat. Well, today, you know, we would be horrified if a pediatrician said that.
Yes.
I think if we can educate our pediatricians and educate our educators about these basic physiologic issues that children have, it helps explain their behavior, their reluctance to do things that other kids love to do, their insistence on doing things a certain way which get in everybody else's way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And kids are not, they don't get up and up in the morning and think, how am I going to press everybody's buttons today? You know, they want to please their grown-ups, they want to succeed, and every child wants to learn. And what is standing in their way? It is often physical.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, Carol, you are so incredible. And I am so glad that we had this time today. And I would love for you to come on a show I do with Freeman Michaels on KKZZ Talk Radio in Ventura County, California. We're doing a series right now called Positive Parenting. So after the show,
good.
Give you the information. So everyone check out Carol on It's Your Health Radio and also on Positive Parenting. Those are both on my site, www.itsyourhealthnetwork.com. And speaking of sites, Carol, if you can give us yours.
Yes, I have two. One is www.insyncchild.com, and it's insync-child,
okay.
Three words and two hyphens. And my other site is outofsyncchild.com.
Oh, well, Carol, you are such a gem and such a resource. I really appreciate it. I hope everyone checks out Growing an InSync Child. And again, make sure to check her out on Positive Parenting. Freeman is incredible. The two of us together is really amazing. So I want to thank everyone for listening. Take care. Have a great week. Bye-bye.